Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Tes Vav, the 15th Perek. This is the section of Yeshayahu, which is known as the Masa'ot. It is the prophecies regarding the other nations. And up until now, we have spoken about the people of Babel, who were responsible for the destruction of the first temple, and they themselves were destroyed in the time period between the first and second temple. And then, as we finished last perek, we spoke about the Plishtim, a nation who encroached on Am Yisrael's land and successfully did so in the times of Ahaz. And they're warned that during the time of Chizkiyahu, their plan will come to an end. So as we can start to get a sense, these are nations whose rise up and whose downfall don't really work chronologically or don't really fall into a specific time period. The nation we're going to talk about today has two prakim about him. It is the nation of Moab. Now, we don't have a parallel story in Tanakh which describes the downfall of Moab, like we did with Babel, or even we had parts with the Plishtim. Here, however, Moab's destruction is only described here in Yeshayahu Perek Tes Vav. But we do know who Moab was. Moab was the nation which comes from the daughter of Lot, and we know of some exceptional people who came from Moab, like Eglon, the king in Sefer Shoftim, who stood up and gave covered respect to Hashem when he heard Hashem's name. Or like Rus, the Moabiyah, the Moabite convert, who becomes the matriarch who's going to be the mother of Mashiach. But we also know about Moab as a nation. In Devarim Perek Chaf Gimel, we are told, Lo yavo Amoni u'Moavi b'kahal Hashem. And people from Ammon and Moab are not allowed to convert and become Jewish. And why is that? Because Pasuk Hei tells us, Al davar asher lo kidmu etchem belechem u'b'mayim beiderech b'tzeitchem imitzrayim. Because when we were coming out of Egypt, we crossed over or bordered the land of Moab, and we asked the people of Moab to provide us with bread and with water, and they refused. They refused to provide us with basic sustenance. And secondly, the pasuk continues and tells us that they were the ones under the kingship of Balak, the king of Moab, who hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. So because of these two reasons, they cannot become part of Am Yisrael. Let's keep that in mind as we read about the downfall of Moab over here. Yeshayahu Perek Tes Vav opens up with Masa Moab. This is the prophecy regarding Moab. Ki belel shudad er Moab nidma. On the night in which it was plundered, the city of Ar in Moab was silent. Ki belel shudad kir Moab nidma. And on the night that it was plundered, kir in Moab was also silent. They were taken totally by surprise. They were not expecting to be destroyed. And we understand this to be a reference to the people of Sanherev. Sanherev's army and the people of Asher come in silently at night and wipe out and plunder the entire Moab. The rest of this perek can be split into two parts. The one is the wailing and the crying, which comes as a result of this destruction, kind of like the next day you would imagine, when it's too late. Everything is destroyed, and then the people begin to cry. And secondly, there's a description of the people being sent out into exile and the suffering that they're going to have at the hands of the Assyrian army. In contrast to Pasuk Aleph, which describes Nidma, the dead silence of the night of destruction, Pasuk Beis tells us, Allah habayis v'divon habamos lebechi. They go up to their places of worship and they're screaming and they're crying, Al mavo v'al medva Moav yelil. And because of these cities which were destroyed, Moav is wailing and crying, B'chol rosh av karcha kol zaken garua. And they are shaving their heads and they're tearing out their beards as a sign of mourning. And the Malbim points out, all this crying takes place when it's too late. This is not the cry of someone who can do something. This is the cry of helplessness. It's over. Everything's destroyed. And now you cry. And Pasuk Dalet continues this description of crying. And it says, Bechotzosav chagrusak. In the streets, people are wearing sackcloth. Al gogoseha v'rechavoseha kula yalil. In the streets and up on the rooftops, everybody's wailing, everybody's crying. Yored bebechi. They go down in crying. The Malbim explains the word yored because it implies they're going down, meaning it's utterly lost. Everything is over. It's fallen apart. It's absolutely and totally hopeless. Pasuk Dalet once again talks about the crying of the people of Moab. And then Pasuk Hei says, Libi le Moav Yisak. My heart cries out for Moav or to Moav. Why is Yishayahu crying out about Moab? So the Radak says he's not. This is a personification of the nation of Moab. Moab is crying out about itself, and Yishayahu poetically is describing that cry as Libi la Moab Yizak. It's as if Moab cries about itself. It mourns about its own destruction. Rashi says, no, we show compassion, unlike Bilam, who tried to curse the people. We see another nation, and we also give them a little bit of cover and dignity. Rav Tzadok takes this one step further. Rav Tzadok says Yishayahu cries out for the destruction of Moab because contained within Moab is the potential for goodness. Every single nation in the world represents a spark of Hashem, a spark of something that needs to be here, it needs to be in the world and can be purified. And therefore, when we talk about the destruction of Moab, even though they treated us badly, even though we don't want them to convert and become Jews, we still cry out. We cry out for the loss, for the shame of the fact that something could have become great and it didn't. And this puts a whole new perspective on all of these Masa'ot. As we're reading through about Bavel and the Plishtim and Moab and all of these people, we could say, we're tempted to say, what's this got to do with me? This is not about me. These aren't my people. And why does Yishayahu talk so much about it? And at the same time, we could say, yes, Bavel has come and gone and the Plishtim have come and gone. And we should feel some sadness. We should feel like, wow, Hashem expressed himself through the Plishtim too and through the people of Bavel. And now they're gone and something is lost. And as I said before, the Perek has two issues. The one is the description of the crying out. And the other one is the description of the destruction. And let's take a look at those psukim for a minute. Pasuk Vav tells us the following. Ki me nimrim meshamot yihiyu. The waters of Nimrim, which seems to be a river which is in Moab, will be totally desolate. Ki avesh chatzir. It'll be dried up and there will be no produce and there'll be no green to pasture. This is again a description of the downfall and poverty which is going to come from the downfall of the people of Moab. And Alkain, therefore, Yitra Asa, all the wealth which, as we said, Moab was known to be a very wealthy land, and all the wealth which they had acquired, Upakud Asam, and all the things which they have, Al Nachal Ha'aravim Yasa'um, will be carried out on Nachal Ha'aravim. And lastly, Pasuk Tes tells us, Ki me Dimon malu dam. The water of Dimon, the river of Dimon, will be filled with blood. In fact, maybe it's called Dimon from the word dam, which is blood. Ki ashit al Dimon nosafot. Because I will add to Dimon more what? Perhaps more bodies, which will just increase the blood that's inside of this blood-drenched river. Lepleitat Moav, and those who manage to get away from this, Aryeh, will be eaten up by a lion, and perhaps that lion is going to be a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who those who aren't destroyed by the Assyrians and Sanherib will later be destroyed by the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. But what's really interesting is that these psukim which talk about the destruction of Moab all have one thing in common. They all talk about water. We read about how the water will be dried up of Me Nimrim. Then we talk about how the spoils are going to be taken through the river, Nachal Aravim. And lastly, we talk about how the water of Dimon is going to be filled with blood. And I think this is so telling because if you recall how we started, we said we know something about Moab. The thing we know about Moab is they were the people who refused to give bread and water to the Jewish people when they came out of Mitzrayim. And there is something deeply midah keneged midah, measure for measure, about reading the destruction of Moab and hearing about how all of the imagery which Yishayahu recalls to talk about Moab's punishment revolves around the themes of water, running water, and its destruction because it held back its water to Am Yisrael. The destruction of Moab and this Masa regarding Moab is going to continue on in Perek Tes Zayin, the next Perek. But for us, Perek Tes Vav, as we've said, is going to introduce us to Moab's downfall. It's wailing, it's crying, it's helplessness. Maybe our responsibility to tap into its helplessness and feel a sadness. And also, the Midah Keneged Midah punishment of Moab, who are destroyed and at the mercy of water, the people who withheld water from us. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema, L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara Shelano, U'Lepitzu'e Tzahal, Achenu Hayakarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'Chaim Shenka.